Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was, I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
This is the Ian Furness Show.
Both teams are going to run football, and we need to run it well. You know, and take care of the ball, too, is part of it. They're talking, you know, cyclone-like or whatever the weather is down there. I mean, I can't believe Northern California is getting hit like this, but... You know, it's going to really come down to take care of football.
Text us at 49451 and hit the talkback mic on the iHeartRadio app.
Oh, it starts with their defense. It has for a number of years. They've got a great group over there. The guy, it goes right to the guys up front. You know, Fred running the whole show there. It's their style of play and their success. You know, the number one defense in the NFL and all that. That's the way I see it. I don't know how they see it, but that's the way I see it.
This is the new Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.
All right, here we go. Pete Carroll talking about the game coming up on Saturday. I keep wanting to say Sunday. Saturday. Game on Saturday. Welcome into the show. Hello, everyone. I see Andrew's in there. He's doing like 18 shows he's producing these days. Jess is in there. She's ready to go. And I'd say, what are we at? About a 99% train? Are we ready to rock and roll? Are you feeling comfortable?
Yeah, give me that 1%. Okay. I need the 1%.
The 1% sitting next to you. That's why Anders is still in there. He's basically like, kid apparently is off tomorrow. Jackson's got the Rona.
Yep, I'm doing both.
You're doing Kraken and all that stuff probably as well.
Yep.
Huge game for them tonight, by the way.
Big game. Busy
show coming up today. Here's what we got. Well, first of all, I got to tell you this. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM brings you the $1,000 Power Play. Presented by Muckleshoot Casino. Listen each weekday between 6 and 7 for the nationwide keyword to enter on our website at 933KJR.com. This hour, it's bonus. Okay, so I know that right there. Sports Radio KJR is also covered on all things NFL playoff coverage presented by Tulalip Resort Casino, DraftKings Sportsbooks at Tulalip Resort Casino, and Quill Cedar Creek Casino, including John Lund coming up in just a couple minutes from KNBR. He is pre and post halftime host of all things 49ers football on the radio down there. He'll check in with us, our old friend John Lund. We're going to get back into DK Metcalf a little bit later. Some good stuff from him, about him, from both Mike Holmgren and Greg Cosell last week. Yesterday we discussed a little bit of the frustrations with his, what was it, Jess? The immaturity.
Yeah.
Yeah, which you see in this station every day. This is the definition of immaturity.
We have no leg to stand on.
Exactly. This is all immature.
But we know it when we see it.
We do know. Yeah, it's like porn. There you go. You know when you see it, and you know usually you see it from 10 to 1. All right, let's see what else we got. Dave Tomlinson, Kraken radio analyst. His weekly visit brought to you by Beardsley. That's coming up at 2. And, oh, by the way, what a game tonight in the National Hockey League. 4 o'clock drop of the puck, 3:30 pregame. We'll get to that in a second with headlines, but he'll join us coming up at 2 o'clock today. As always, chime in, 49451. That's the Tullamore text line. When it's game time, it is Tully time. We'll get to those texts later on. We've got a little bit of a roundtable for us to talk about at 3 o'clock, but first, let's get to headlines.
Now, from the Star Rentals Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJRFM Sports Headlines.
Brought to you by VenueKings, VenueKings.com. Kraken, 4 o'clock tonight, Boston. Boston, best team in the NHL. Kraken, hottest team in the NHL. Something's got to give. 4 o'clock, drop of the puck, 3:30 pregame right here on 93.3 KJRFM. Kevin Warren, Big Ten commissioner. He took USC and UCLA out of the Pac-12, then gone. He's out of here. Now the new president of the Chicago Bears.
Mad scientist doesn't even get to watch his creation
grow. No, he does. That probably does slow down any other thought about expansion in the meantime, though. Cougar Hoops, as expected, beat Cal last night. Smashed them, 66-51. They led by 1 at the half and turned it on the second half. DJ Robin, 14-6-2. Gay also had 14 in that game. Huskies take on Stanford tonight, 8 o'clock. That's over on the AM, 950 AM. And Derek Carr out with the L.A. Raiders. All right, it is a Thursday. We're getting close, just a couple days away from that Saturday kickoff. And, boy, it's been too long since we've had one of our favorites on. I say that, and I mean it. I can see him. We're doing this on a Zoom. I can see him. You're snickering. One of my favorites, John Lund, KNBR, the guru of all things 49ers. No, come on.
But I know it'll happen. It I am very appreciative, and you are being sincere, but I'm sure that after however long we're going to be here, 10, 15, 20 minutes, however long it is, that that'll get back at us.
Okay. It will. That's all right. All right. No, just take a compliment. One of my favorite guys. He's the host on KNBR.
Yeah. Very
he's,
defensive.
He's the host for the 49ers pre and halftime and post game, all things 49ers. If you follow him on Instagram, he'll do a selfie about 8 o'clock in the morning from rainy Levi Stadium on Saturday. Here I am. Here I am.
I don't know. You know what? It's just one of those things where I always think to myself, this is so goofy, and I walk down on the field and do all these stupid things, and then – and people like it. So I do the, it's almost the same, be honest with you. It's the same thing every week. And they're like, oh, that's awesome. And all these thumbs up. I'm like, all right, you people are simple. Right on. Yeah. I'll just do it again.
Nothing screams simpleton like the Bay Area, man. Nothing. Right. I mean, you know, and they just, maybe just because you're goofy looking and they say, I want to see this guy again. I can't believe
probably, that's probably it. Yeah, I had an eye surgery and I put these big, like big glasses on one day and it got the most hits ever. I'm like, so the uglier I am, which isn't hard to do, the better. It does. I don't know.
All right. Well, it's good. Well, let's start with the weather. You just mentioned it. For those of us that have to do a 90-minute pregame show from the stadium there on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock, how's it going to be? Do I need to bring, like, a boat or something? What?
Yeah. Bring your rubbers. What is that?
Excuse me?
Island 3-hour tour. Bring your
just
rubbers.
An idiot.
Look, we don't get the rain like you get the rain, but I've lived in rainy places, and I lived up in Portland, and I know it's not the annoying drizzle that's going on right now. We're getting floods. I had to be you'll laugh at this. I had to be a newsman for a second today. They send me this thing on my screen, and they say, you have to read this. And I look at it, and it's flood warning in San Francisco in San Mateo County. And it's like, that's not me. Like, I'm goofy and stupid. Like, you want to do something stupid? I'm like, hand it to our producer, let him read it. And he did, and he was really good at it. But we were having flash floods, and they're telling you not to leave, and running these bulletins, and hail's coming down. And, you know, I mean, we see something, but, you know, we don't get much snow. You guys don't get much snow. I mean, we don't get snow. When we get rain like we've gotten, it totally cripples the whole Bay Area. But we were getting big old, you know, ping pong ball hail today. It was just like, what in the...
Well, so, there's an easy solution. There's an easy solution. Just move the game up to Seattle where it's gorgeous up here. Come on, bring it up here.
Isn't that wild? Everybody that I'm talking to, I was talking to a friend in Southern California. I was talking to my kid, of course, in Arizona, and they're like, oh, 72 and sunny. I'm like, hey, would you stop? But, and maybe that, to just kind of take it out of the game, maybe that's advantage Seattle. I mean, Kyle Shanahan is not a guy that's going to dunk a ball in a bucket. He doesn't believe in that. They don't have a bubble to go inside here. I mean, they just practice out in the elements. That's just what they
do. Oh, really?
Oh, wow. They don't do any of that. There's no bubble. There's no dunking balls. There's none of that stuff. Kyle doesn't believe in it. And we've gotten some pretty bad weather this year. There's been a lot of threats, and then it hasn't come through. But we've had a couple of games this year that have been rain games. Last year, there was a Sunday or Monday night against the Colts. It was just a downpour. They didn't play well in. But I don't know what you think, but I'm always of the belief that if you have inclement weather, then it probably favors the team that is the underdog. And in this aspect, it's the Seahawks, and the Seahawks are used to playing in this weather more than the 49ers are.
Yeah. John Lund joining me, KBR. Okay. I guess the thing, my reference point would be you know, the Niners played a game, the 49ers played a game, what, game one this year, the first game of the year they played in Chicago. Yeah. And it was awful. And I guess I brought this up on my show a couple of days ago. I think maybe the weather, when it's that bad, I don't know if it evens things out, but just stranger things can happen. You know, like whatever advantage somebody can. Because what happened in that game, for example, because it was, it was awful.
I'll give you a great example, and you guys know this guy, Dante Pettis, former Washington Husky, former second-round pick of the 49ers, found himself in that game wide open just because, I don't know, it was raining, and all of a sudden, hey, who's that guy over there? That's that former 49er, Dante Pettis, and he caught a touchdown. It was. You know, just completely quirky, and the Bears won the game. They didn't know where Justin Fields was going. Meanwhile, you look back, and the Bears are the worst team in the league and have the number one pick. So, look, anything can happen, and I agree with you. I mean, weather is a great equalizer. Having said that, the 49ers want to run the football, and they have been able to run the football well against the Seahawks like a lot of teams. So, you know, they're probably going to do, even though there's a lot of hoopla around Brock Purdy, they're going to do what they did with Jimmy throughout the playoffs as few times as he can throw it. That's what they want to do. And they have a ton of weapons. So if it becomes a mutter kind of a game, maybe the Seahawks have an advantage, but certainly the 49ers are built for it too.
That field in the past, now it's, I don't know, what it's a decade old or so now, right? But I mean, I remember in the past that field, that turf had been an issue even to some of the best of times? I assume they have it covered all week and all of that, but is there any concern about that feel holding up?
No, it's much better than it used to be. You're right. There was a lot of issues with it, and a lot actually over the last few weeks, just because the weather's been so bad, they've had it covered with those big blowers on there, which I had a dumb idea about 2 weeks ago. I went down there early, and I thought, this will be funny. I'll do my pregame stupid thing by one of these jet engines. And, of course, it was a jet engine, and the whole rest of the day I couldn't hear. It was like I was at an Aussie concert for 3 days. So that was pretty stupid. But they do. They've got a system down. The field is much better. When they first, like you said, much with like a lot of places that open, you kind of try to get the turf right and everything. But, yeah, it's really good turf. They keep really good care of it, and it's got a good drainage system, all that stuff, very modern. And they've got all the quirks out of it. So we've played on some wet fields this year in inclement weather, and it's held up just fine.
Let me go. Well, before we get into like the offense, defense, and kind of some of the keys, just overall, what was the thought from inside the 49ers headquarters when Seattle got in? I mean, they were looking at Seattle or Green Bay or Detroit. I mean, and all three bring their different unique challenges and or weaknesses. As a 7 seed or a 7 seed, you got weaknesses. There's no doubt about that. But what were you hearing from some of the players or coaches you talked to?
Well, there's an immense amount of respect for Pete Carroll. I mean, really what we were talking about this week and what Kyle was talking about this week is, you know, we thought.
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun. Live Boricua.
It was a year ago yesterday was the final game of the season in which the 49ers beat the Rams 27-24. And then got into the playoffs barely, and then met them again in the NFC Championship game, and then they win the Super Bowl. And in here, we thought, well, that Seahawks thing is over, and now it's going to be McVay, Shanahan, and it's going to be Rams, 49ers for, you know, 5 or 10 years, whatever it's going to be. And so that has shifted from Seattle down to L.A. Well, boy, were we wrong. They've completely imploded. Aaron Donald may not stay if Sean McVay leaves. I mean, you know the story about the Rams. They're a complete mess. And lo and behold, here are the Seahawks again, exactly where we used to be. And we're in the, you know, it's the playoffs for only the second time, of course, 2014, the NFC Championship game. But, you know, it's the Seahawks, and you guys did such a great job. And we can have this debate too, executive of the year. I know what John Schneider did and turning that team around in that draft and robbing the Broncos and the Russell trade. But, you know, the 49ers got Christian McCaffrey during the season and drafted Brock Purdy and kept Jimmy Garoppolo around. And they've done a great job in what they've done. But so the Seahawks, to me, you can tell me if I'm wrong. I mean, on the horizon, it looks like the Seahawks are going to be back to where they're going to be. You know, I don't know what they're going to do long term with Geno or draft the quarterback. You know the situation better than I do, picking up 5 and 20 in the first round and getting the second rounder. I think Seattle, with that young team that they've got, they're going to be around a while. And as long as Kyle Shanahan's in San Francisco and all of a sudden Brock Purdy looks pretty legitimate right now, I don't know what happens long term to Trey Lance. Jimmy's going to leave after the season, but they got a bunch of young guys that are going to be tied up. If Brock Purdy's your quarterback, all of a sudden you got a 7th round starting quarterback, and that contract's kind of what you guys had with Russ when he was in the 3rd round. Yeah. You're not paying somebody $25 million. Nick Bosa's up. They're going to sign Nick Bosa. He's going to be around here a long time. I think he's going to be the defensive player of the year. And Fred Warner signed, and Dre Greenlaw signed, and you go on down the line. Most of those defenders are signed. Debo just signed. Ayuk's going to get signed soon. Christian McCaffrey signed long-term. So this is going to be 49ers Seahawks to me in this division for the foreseeable future. We don't even need to talk about the Cardinals. I think here we go again. What, the next 10 years, Seahawks, 49ers again for the division, it looks like to me.
How do all those guys fit in the cap, man? You just rattle off like 10 Pro Bowlers or all pro guys, including McCaffrey. And then when they went McCaffrey, that to me told me they're all in for this next couple of years. Like, they're all in. This is, you know, they didn't expect a quarterback to get hurt, much less two quarterbacks to get hurt. But Purdy, the Shanahan run offense and that defense, you can get carried away with, or you can get carried by a lesser quarterback. But, man, how the hell do you guys fit all those dudes under the cap?
No, that's a good point. I mean, if you look at, you know, Bosa's going to get paid. Armstead's already gotten paid. Greenlaw, they got under the wire. He's been a really under the radar linebacker. They're not this good yet, but Warner and Greenlaw are kind of what Willis and Bowman were. And Bowman was actually maybe at times better than Willis.
Yeah.
And that's kind of been the case. Dre Greenlaw this year. And then, you know, the biggest acquisition they got in the offseason, and I didn't think it was going to be this big, was Charvarius Ward, because their corners have been bad. And Ward's one of the best corners in the league. And they, the one place you can attack is, if we get into the game a little bit, you know, D'Amador Lenore, a former Oregon Duck, they lost Emmanuel Mosley in week, I think, 4 or 5 against Carolina. It was a homecoming for him. He's from back there. And he's a really solid, underrated corner. And he's out for the year. And it happens to every team. We know that. But that's kind of their kryptonite side. And so they've been attacking. Teams have been attacking D'Amador Lenore. Talanoa Hufanga, their other safeties, going to the Pro Bowl, but he's really aggressive. So he'll make plays. He'll get interceptions. He'll make splash plays and woo plays. But then there's a ball over the top. The one thing against this defense, as good as it's been, it led the NFL in points per game and all these different things, different categories, rush yards, et cetera. They give up big plays. They did against Arizona one or two times. They did a lot against the Raiders the week before, one or two times a game. And usually it's because Talanoa Hufanga, their safety 29, is too aggressive, they'll give up a big play. And that's where you got to watch it against the Seahawks, because you know this, Lockett, a lot of times all of a sudden he's wide open. You're like, who the hell's covering that guy? You know, and well, DK gets a lot of attention, but Lockett is always like playing the defense somehow.
And well, yeah, you got to avoid those linebackers, man. You got to avoid Warner. It is interesting, you know, watching Warner and Greenlaw. I think back to Willis and Bowman. I think back to KJ Wright, Bobby Wagner. I mean, there's been some great twosomes, and, you know, I mean, in this conference for sure. I guess I look at, you know, Charvarius Ward's going to be the interesting matchup, because for some reason last week, now the Rams did play more man, I guess, than they had in the past. Normally they don't play a lot of man, but we saw a lot of DK and Jalen last week. And I saw a lot of Geno forcing the ball to DK Metcalf. One was a pick on the first play of the game. He almost lost one later in the game as well in overtime. So, I mean, we've seen that a little bit. Well, will they play man? Will Ward match up man to man with DK, or with Lockett on the field, 2,000 yard receivers? Will they just try to play, you know, more one side than the other?
I expect Charvarius Ward to follow DK around, because their belief, whether it's right or not, is debatable, is that they want to take DK out of the game and the big plays there. And I think, and you guys know this better than I do, I think that he's a little bit like Jalen Ramsey, certainly not the physical way, but what I mean is from a mental standpoint, you know, messing with DK, and I know that the book on him a little bit is you try to go at him and take him out of his game. Obviously, on the Ramsey hit last week, as you guys all know, and then he kind of pushes back and they didn't get that one. He got into it a little bit when
that was just a love tap. He just,
no, I have no issue with it. I am not starting anything here.
Come on now.
I'm a DK guy. I like DK fine, but I do think that it's part of the strategy of the 49ers.
Absolutely. Get in his head.
A physical, feisty guy like Charvarius Ward, they're going to, I think, for the most part, do what Jalen Ramsey did, which is follow him around the field. Now, that could backfire because, like you said, Lockett is awesome. I mean, there's just no way to put it, especially with his hand the way that it is. I mean, I can't believe what the guy's doing. And D'Amador Lenore, at best, is a nickel corner. He should be their nickel corner. He should actually be a backup corner on the bench. What they do is they got Tashawn Gibson off the scrap heap, and he's had a heck of a year. They moved him to free safety because Jimmy Ward was out early in the season, missed the first four games. Ward used to play free safety, but had played nickel in his career. So they moved him down to nickel, and then they had Emmanuel Mosley outside, and they had a really good secondary. But now having Lenore out there, and he's undersized, and he tries, and he'll come up and tackle, but he gives up a lot of big plays, and he gives up size. Well, you know, Lockett is really smart, and he's going to turn him around, and I would expect that Tyler Lockett is going to make some plays against D'Amador Lenore, because that's what's happened the majority of the time that he's been in games this year.
I'm glad you brought up Lockett, because, I mean, I think, you know, we talk about it a lot up here. You know, one of the cliches that you know, all of us knuckleheads use in sports, right, is the underrated player. But, you know, if you look or ask around the league, and even just fans, like, you know, hey, Seattle, they've got a great twosome, two great receivers, 2,000-yard receivers. Who are they? Well, DK. And right? It's and yet, I mean, 49ers know, Shanahan knows, you guys, I mean, 16 is a huge part of what they do. And if there is a big catch to be needed or had, it's him. And yeah, he's playing with a broken hand, by the way, as well. But it's the trust factor Geno has in him is no doubt. Real quick on the run side before I get to the other side of the football. The 49ers don't give up big runs. I think they haven't given up a run of, what, 10 or 11, 12 plus in the last few games.
Yeah, the big plays have been through the air, definitely. Yeah, so, not on the ground.
So can anybody, because Seattle's going to want to run. They're going to want to try to get Ken Walker going north-south, which he didn't do when you first saw him. He's going north-south now, but they're going to want him going north-south. Can anybody do anything against that front?
Well, 2 weeks ago, the Raiders did with Josh Jacobs, and that was definitely an outlier. They just hadn't done that. But, you know, they've had a lot of injuries. Now, Arik Armstead coming back has really eased a lot of those issues. Kevin Givens is not a big name that Seahawks fans are going to be well aware of, but he wears number 90, and he's been out for a few weeks, and he's a really good player. In fact, he's better, to be honest, than their first-round pick, Javon Kinlaw, who has fought knee issues. Javon Kinlaw will play in this game. He's probably limited the amount of snaps he can play. But what I'm trying to point out here is they've had a lack of depth, which is allowed, which has tired the guys out. Hassan Ridgeway is a guy that's already out. He used to be with the Eagles. He was a big run stuffer inside. They've just had a lot of injuries inside. But you and I were texting earlier today, and you know they're as healthy as they've been. So they don't have Ridgeway. He's out for the year. Kinlaw is going to be a bit limited, but they have Armstead. They're getting Kevin Givens for the back for the first time in a few weeks, and they'll rotate guys in there, kind of like the New York Giants used to do with a NASCAR package on passing downs. Charles Omenihue will go inside. Drake Jackson, the rookie out of USC, who was inactive last week but made a great play against the Raiders on an interception off a tip ball. And then Kerry Hyder, who was with the Seahawks last year. And I don't know what the deal is with Kerry Hyder. He was with their line coach, Chris Kucerik, in Detroit and was really good. He was with Kucerik with the 49ers and had like 8.5, 9 sacks the other year. And then the Seahawks signed him. He did nothing. And then he came back here and he's solid again. So my point is that they've got a bunch of guys that they rotate in to keep fresh. And it's not any one individual, maybe outside of Arik Armstead, that's really, really special. But it just seems like with that rotation, they just don't give up anything. And then the speed of Greenlaw, the speed of Warner, Azeez Al-Shaair is really good in the run game. They just have really good linebackers that can go sideline to sideline with a defensive line that just doesn't get pushed around.
How the hell did Fred Warner end up at BYU? What the hell? How did that happen?
And he was playing safety. He played safety at BYU, and they brought him in, and they said, you know, he'd be really good. And that's the heart of their defense. I think the biggest issue, and I think what the Seahawks have to do in the future, especially without Jordan Brooks for the foreseeable future, and that's where the 49ers are going to attack, is that middle of the field where that short passing game goes, where that quick stuff goes, and you better make those tackles. And again, that's where Willis and Bowman were so good. Mm-hmm. That's where Warner and Greenlaw are so good. That's where Hufanga, if he can keep it, you know, watch the back end of him. But in terms of things in front of him, he makes dynamic plays. They just have a lot of speed, and that's where everybody in the league likes to go now, with that quick short stuff over the middle, and you better be able to stop and tackle. Bobby Wagner was so good. You guys had Cam Chancellor. I mean, you guys were so good in that kind of triangle right there. And that's where the 49ers are so good, and that's where I know the 49ers are going to try to attack the Seahawks.
You know who doesn't throw over the middle, go down the middle? Number 3 in Denver. He doesn't either. You know why? Because he might be shorter than you. How tall are you again?
Oh yeah, I'm like 6'4".
No, you're
pretty
not.
Big.
If you, maybe if you double your kid's 6'4".
I know. You start trying to tell your kid what to do. Hey, clean your room. He just came back from college. You know the story.
Yeah.
And it's just like, come on. And he looks at me like, Dad, this is not happening.
My kid's afraid. My kid's afraid of me. So actually, he's not.
Yeah, you got a big kid, too. Jeez, I wouldn't tell him. I wouldn't say anything to him. Whatever you want to do.
Hey, has John Lund, KBR, joining me. Has Purdy had to win a game yet? Like, has he had to do the old game-winning drive nonsense? I mean, has he had to do that yet? Or even what Goff did the other day, go down and kill a clock, like run out of game. Like, has he had to do that yet?
In Puerto Rico, we call ourselves Boricua. We are proud, passionate, and full of life. On our island, adventure finds you. Strangers aren't strangers for long. The size of the audience doesn't change the beauty of the music. And we celebrate every last ray of sun.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for Aurora LASIK and Dr. J. Rudd. For about 15 years, I have had to use reading glasses for everything. Reading text, looking at my phone, script writing, whatever it was. I had to use reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange at Aurora LASIK with Dr. J. Rudd. It's life-changing. I wish I would have done this years ago. You can check it out as well. Go to auroralasik.com. That's auroralasik.com. Dr. J. Rudd and his staff are sensational. No more readers. Get your consultation scheduled today. That's auroralasik.com.
I mean, he hasn't had to. He's had some, you know, halftime scores that were really good. Then they would double up and they get the ball back, those kind of things. He did against the Raiders. I mean, they won 37-34, and there was a couple of drives. They were down 24-14 at one point in that game. That was just a weird game. The defense just got pushed around all day. It was kind of an outlier. But Yeah, I mean, that he had to do that in that game, but I think there's a big difference between doing it against the Raiders and doing it against a legitimate defense. The Raiders have a horrible defense, and so I got to give him credit for it. But I mean, Chandler Jones was out; they don't have anybody else. Max Crosby, but they don't have anybody, and so he's done it. But I mean, that's, you know, he's been checking off boxes. That's the whole thing. Was okay, you won in Seattle, and you did this, and you did that. But has he, you know, has he played the playoffs? No, but every time you talk to him, you think you're talking to a 10-year vet. And we had a guy on today, and this is an interesting article. Jason Cole wrote it. Jason Cole's been covering the NFL for a long time. I think it was on Outkick. And he talked about there's a certain test. I'll make it very, very quick. There's a certain test that you take. There's been over 3,500 NFL players take it, about 120 quarterbacks, and he's in the top 3%. And what it tells you is how quickly can you process things. And he was in the same category as a guy like Drew Brees. So he doesn't have the biggest arm. He isn't the biggest guy, all these different things, but he can scan the field. He gets rid of the football. He generally makes good decisions, and he acts like a 10-year veteran. Look, maybe he falls on his face. This is a very small, short sample size, but this is a fact. Trey Lance, Jimmy Garoppolo is better. Jimmy Garoppolo, Brock Purdy's been better. And part of it is Christian McCaffrey. You guys know this because you saw it on December 15th. Even if Christian McCaffrey doesn't have the ball, he's like this orbit. He's like this planet, and he takes people with him. And then Debo's back and healthy, and Elijah Mitchell's back and healthy, and Brandon Ayuk had maybe one of the quietest 1,000-yard seasons that you'll ever see. And Juwan Jennings is great on third down, and George Kittle has 7 touchdowns in his last 4 games because nobody can double him anymore. They have so many weapons that really all, I mean, this, I'm making it sound simple, but all Brock Purdy has to do is read it and get it to the right guy. And it sounds simple. It's not. It's a complicated offense. But the kid is really smart. And so sometimes when we look at quarterbacks, we just look at the rocket arm and all these different things, and we forget to look at all the things that really Brock Purdy is really good at. So, look, could he fall on his face in week one of the playoffs for his first playoff career game? Yeah, he could. But he does a lot of really good things, and it fits the system and these players really well.
Brock Purdy's going to be why Stetson Bennett gets drafted this year, you know, like, and probably not the last round either.
You are 1,000% right.
I'm always right.
No, you're not.
What are you talking about? You brought up this as you paint that picture with that offense. I think every Seahawk fan right now is like, well, I thought it was going to be an uphill battle. Yep. I'm not sure if we should. Maybe our guys shouldn't even show up, man.
It's been a pick your poison. I mean, they're on a 10-game winning streak. They were 3-4, and they're on a 10-game winning streak. And look, at one point before they got McCaffrey, they're averaging like 18 points a game. I mean, this offense, we're like, what is going on with his offense? His defense is really good. Since they got Purdy and McCaffrey together, they're averaging over 35. So, again, I'm not saying that things can't change. They lead the league in turnover margin at plus 13. They were plus 4 against the Seahawks this year. The Seahawks had 4 turnovers. The 49ers had none. If things like that don't change, you know, the Seahawks blocked a field goal that Michael Jackson returned for a touchdown, as you well know. That was the only score here. Santa Clara. So, look, they got to have special teams. They got to flip the turnover margin. They need a lot of things to go in their favor, because if it's just line up and play, and again, this is just on paper, if it's just line up and play, and I'm not saying this because I'm in San Francisco, it's just the fact, if it's just line up and play, then the 49ers should win.
Well, and plus you get the experience. I don't know how much that matters, but I think it does matter. I think that's why 2012 was important for Seattle when they were making that run. They beat Washington and lost to Atlanta, then won the Super Bowl the next year. I think that, you know, and maybe that's the case with this particular version of the 49ers. You know, last year they had high expectations and didn't get where they wanted to. They also, you know, in their same conference division, ran into the Super Bowl champion. I mean, Seattle's got 11 starters out of 22, 11 out of 22 that have never played a playoff game, including quarterback. Ooh. Now, I mean, and you look through the league, I mean, San Francisco's got 100 in the NFC, 181 playoff games of experience. Seattle's got 74. Now, if you take Bruce Irvin out of there, who's like 45 years old, you know, they drop down to 63.
He was in the Russell. He was the first round pick in the Wilson draft with Wagner, wasn't he?
It went Irvin, Wagner, Wilson. Wagner. Yeah, Irvin Wilson, Wagner. Yeah,
he's the last one left. That's crazy. Yeah.
Well, this is his third tour of duty here, man. He's been here three. Yeah. This is his third stint here. So, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing too is they've got to rely on him to try to get some rush. They have to get some rush on Purdy. They have to get some rush.
How's that offensive line? I mean, Trent Williams, the best left tackle probably in the business. Yeah. How's the rest of that offensive line? They're healthy. I see that.
Yeah, it was my biggest concern coming into the season because they had guys like Aaron Banks who hadn't played and Jake Brendel who was like 30 but had never really started. And they started they're starting a first or a fourth round pick out of Texas San Antonio at right guard. And so I'm looking at this line going, they can't be any good. They actually finished, I don't know, do you believe in Pro Football Focus? Maybe not.
I do. Like I do. Yeah.
They're like the fifth rated offensive line. McGlinchey definitely is a better run blocker than a pass blocker. He can be bull rushed and those kind of things. He's tall. But yeah, like you said, Trent Williams is a bull, and Aaron Banks has become pretty good. He missed last week, but he'll be back this week. They like to run left and behind Trent Williams and Aaron Banks, and they like to bully people, and they've been pretty successful.
John Lund, KNBR, we'll take a break. More to come, 93.3 KJFM.
Now back to Ian Furness, powered by Puget Law Group, injury attorneys at PLGWins.com on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Great stuff from John Lund. Appreciate him popping on with us there as we discuss the game on Saturday. Can't wait. Seahawks and 49ers, 1:30 kickoff on Fox 13. It's the very first game of Super Wild Card Weekend in the NFL, and they'll get things going early. And then, we're going to spend some time in the next segment talking a little bit more about DK Metcalf. I mean, he's got to be, your best players have to be your best players in the playoffs, and we'll talk about that. Got some great stuff from yesterday with from guys like Mike Holmgren, and then last week Greg Cosell as well. So we'll do that in the next segment coming up in just a couple of seconds. If you wonder how the NFL operates in terms of looking ahead, Lund kind of mentioned in there, I've had a couple other people mention it, they set up the 49ers as the two seed. Remember, the top two seeds used to get byes. It used to be one and two would get a bye. And then they added the extra wild card team, so now seven teams make it. And to make it, to even things out in terms of having, an even number of games, the number two seed no longer gets a bye. Now, the 49ers, we heard at one point, were going to be playing on Monday. Now, Dallas and Tampa Bay, listen, Tom Brady versus the Cowboys, that just jumps out at you as a Monday night game and a primetime game. Then what I heard was an interesting thing. They wanted to make sure the 49ers as a two seed were kind of taken care of. So they get an extra day off. So what it would be is they would think that they would probably play the next Sunday in the divisional round, not Saturday. That's the kind of the feeling right now. So they're already looking ahead to the 49ers winning this game and playing next Sunday as opposed to Saturday.
Rude.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what happens. It's just looking at, everything with this game. Puckett brought it up today, and it's a good point. The stats and all the numbers tell you that Seattle had, really wasn't in either game. And then if you kind of look back, and Puck brought up, we forgot the Quandre Diggs dropped interception when it was 7-3 late in the first half, right, in the game here in Seattle. And we brought this up yesterday. I brought it up on the roundtable as well today. DJ Dallas, when it was 13-0, Seattle's got a chance to go make it a 13-7 game, and he throws the interception out of the Wildcat formation in the end zone from the 2-yard line. When they got a little cute, and 13-7 feels a lot different. And that was an interesting game down there because Jimmy G came in and he had not played at all and hadn't played. I mean, when I say he hadn't played at all, remember his training camp consisted of him throwing on the side, not even participating in training camp. And then they kept him around as the backup. Trey Lance broke his foot or his ankle in that game early in the first drive with Seattle. Jimmy G came in, but 13-7 might've felt different. The numbers tell you a story that says Seattle wasn't in either game, and frankly, they probably weren't. But when you look at actually just two big plays, an interception by Seattle, a thrown interception by Seattle, and a dropped interception by Seattle, both of those games could have had a different feel. That's why you're going to go back to the weather. Just a couple things bounce your way, ball slip through somebody's hands, who knows what ends up happening. Because on paper, they're that much better. Okay, when we come back, DK Metcalf. Yesterday, the conversation was DK Metcalf needs to mature. In fact, we even talked about that this morning a little bit on the radio, on the roundtable. DK Metcalf needs to mature. I'm more thinking that DK Metcalf needs to be more of an absolute dominant force. And some other people that have a lot more football IQ than any of us, including me, have the same opinion. Mike Holmgren and Greg Cosell will talk about that next, 93.3 KJRFM.
Now back to Ian Furness, powered by Puget Law Group, injury attorneys at PLGWins.com on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
All right, let's get back to it. Getting ready for Saturday's game. Seahawks and 49ers. Wild card weekend. Here we go. Lots going on with that. As we get closer and closer, tomorrow we'll break it down with Greg Cosell, by the way. We talked to him last week. Said, hey, it'd be nice to have you on next week and do something other than a season wrap-up. And lo and behold, we get Greg for one more week at least, maybe more, hopefully more, talking actual games and breaking things down. Speaking of Cosell, there has been discussion and on this station all around, I think, about DK Metcalf and you know, some of the penalties he's taken. As we kind of told you yesterday, it's not many in terms of the actual penalties that the, if you want to call them undisciplined penalties, there it's not what, you know, it's not as many as you would think. This year, for example, he has two unsportsmanlike conducts, one against Tampa, one against the Rams. He's got one taunting penalty that came against San Francisco. That's this year. Now he's got some other, you know, offensive pass interference, but I'm talking about the, what we would call the immature penalties. So those are his penalties this season. Last season, in terms of what he did, it was roughly the same. He had a couple, the Green Bay game when he got kicked out at the very end with like a couple seconds left, and he had an unsportsmanlike there. But he's averaging about 2 to 3 of those a year at the most in his career. It feels worse because we see some kind of demonstrative actions on the sideline. We see him at times look a little, you know, out of control, maybe is would be the word to look at. But in reality, he's not costing his team in terms of penalty yards. But I think, you know, the maturity level, I think everyone would like to see a little bit more from him. I want to see more production. I couldn't care less. He plays with an edge. He's in that in the gray, as we talked about yesterday, sorority term. And he, I like the edge. I just want to see more from him as a player. You know, you're getting paid soon as a guy that is an elite wide receiver in this league. Jess, his production is not elite by any means.
Not this year.
No. I mean, he's had games. He's had flashes. Physically, he can probably be the most dominant player on the field.
Absolutely.
I mean, goodness me. I mean, just look at the guy. And he's just, and you know, but in his career, he's had 9 games of 100 yards receiving. He also had 100 yards, 160 in a playoff game. He's played 3 playoff games. He had 160 in one of those. That was a game at Philadelphia, set a Seahawk, you know, franchise record. I think at the time it was an NFL rookie record for receiving yards in a playoff game as well. So he's had a few. He's had a few other games in the 90s and so forth. You know, in terms of multiple touchdown games, you know, and you kind of start looking at, and again, elite wide receivers, the best guys in the league. He's had one game where he had 3 touchdowns. He's had, let's see, was it 4 others when he's had at least, when he's had 2 touchdowns in a game.
So he's capable. It's just his entire body of work.
Consistency.
Yes, exactly.
Consistency, right? Like I would expect this guy to have, you know, double digits in terms of 2 touchdown games. He can't throw himself the ball. I get that. And I think the frustration with Russ was evident at times, especially when he ran slants and things that were between the numbers. Russ can't see. Remember, he's short. Just in case anybody needs a reminder, he is short.
Come on.
He's short. He is. It's a fact.
He was the same height for several very elite years.
He was. And he chucked it up, and guys like Curse and Doug Bain. No, he's a good quarterback. But you get the point. There's frustration there with him. But I want to see more out of him as just from a production standpoint. In this game, they're going to need that. Greg Cosell last week, right before the Seahawks took on the Rams, we talked about, you know, DK Metcalf with Greg as well.
You know, I must admit this. Metcalf is big and he can run, but I feel like there should be more there. You know, I feel like he should be, based on his size, his speed, his at times physicality, I feel like he should be a top 3-4 receiver in this league, and I don't think he's really that guy right now. I think he has moments where you're awed by what he does, but I mean, look, last week Smith made a big time throw to him on a fade ball on 3rd and 7 in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. and Gardner, Metcalf was lined up on the right side, so Gardner was playing him because the Jets don't play sides with their corners, so Gardner's always the left corner. Gardner ran with Metcalf but did not locate the ball. Smith dropped it right into Metcalf's hands. Those are the kinds of plays he's got to make, and he didn't catch it. You know, I always feel like he has too many of those kinds of plays during the season, and then he has some unbelievable ones as well. But, you know, and I don't know if you agree with me, but I just feel like there's more there.
I do agree with you, Greg, quite a bit. Let me get Mike Holmgren's comments, and we'll kind of break down some of the numbers. Because again, it's safe to say you got to have this guy be spectacular for you to win games in the playoffs. Here's Mike Holmgren yesterday on our show. We have Mike on every Wednesday at 2:00. of course, he has quite a bit of experience, quite a bit, with young guys and young talented players, and he gave his thoughts on DK Metcalf.
One of the things, and I think you can't discount this, his maturity level has to change, I think. You know, I mean, he has to, he wants to be a tough guy, and he's in individual battles with the guy covering him, and things like that. But then also, you watch the other great receivers in the league. I mean, you know, the Diggs, the guys who are really can make a difference, in Jefferson, and if you don't let the other guy see a sweat, you know, don't let him allow you to get under your skin, because they'll try and do it every single time. That's one thing. The next thing is, you know, there are times too. Now, I don't know. Again, I'm one of these guys that I try to look in the player's face and get reactions that way. That was just how I did things. So, and there are times when the games are kind of funky, and he's over the sideline, kind of smiling and kind of, you know, I mean, and I'm going, wait a second, stay focused here. Come on, stay with me. You know, stay in this game. And so, I think that comes with maturity. But it's got to come pretty soon now. He's played how many years? You know, 3 or 4 years.
Yep.
And he's talented. I mean, he's fast and big, and he's unique. But I agree with you. It seems like there'd be more to get more out of him. Lockett, to me, is the one that's been the game changer for them this season. And I don't think it's been DK.
No, and you know, Tyler's just. And you know, Tyler's so good. And I think Tyler is what he is. He's consistent. You know, and we mentioned that, Justin and I talked about it. That's consistency. Like, you want to be consistent. And I'll just DK Metcalf this season. He was 12th in the league in targets. He was 12th in the league in receptions with 90. His catch percentage was abysmal this year, 63.8. Now, there are other numbers you can look a little deeper, because sometimes he's the product of a throwaway and you have no chance to catch it. So the better number is PFF keeps track of drops. I think he had a couple more drops this year than he did last year. His hands are better than I think sometimes he gets credit for. So I'll take that one with a grain of salt. But here's a number. I mean, he was 16th in yards, 16th in the NFL. 15 wide receivers have more yards than him, and 11 wide receivers had more receptions than him. That can't happen. He's too good. He's too big. He's too talented. He was 24th in touchdown receptions in the NFL. He was 25th. This is what I really don't like. He was 25th in average length of reception. 25th. That guy is a deep threat. He should be far higher up on the chart than that. And yards after catch, this is the one that's really tough. Big, strong, fast. All right, all apt. He was 136th in the NFL in yards after catch.
Wow.
There's got to be more. But hey, tomorrow or Saturday, it starts there. But I think when you hear guys like, and I only bring this up because, you know, the maturity level and all that comes in. I get all that. I understand that. I think that the bigger issue there is just they need more production. And I thought, as soon as I heard that conversation on the morning show yesterday, and we've kind of we played some of that with Greg and Jess had cut that up, and I'm like, boy, that's good stuff. The first thing I thought of, which was Greg Cosell last week. That was the very first thing I thought of. And Cosell said that. Okay. So it's not an indictment on DK. It's more of, hey, let's get more. Let's get what we're paying for here.
Right, exactly. Well, we're not really paying for that yet.
Yeah, next
right?
year. Next
pay,
year.
Yeah, get what we will pay for.
What we will pay for next year, or what, you know, the Seahawks will be paying for
next year. Like you said, because, and I mean, it can almost be taken as a compliment because you see so much more there. He's all upside at this point, and we just know that it's there. Mm-hmm. Please let us see it, especially on Saturday.
It can be, it's good right now. It has the ability to be great. You know, and when you think of the greats, you think of the Jeffersons, the Diggs, the Tyreek Hills, you know, the Cooper Kupp when he's healthy, those types of dudes. Those are guys that, like, when they're healthy, you know, that's greatness. He's not there yet. Got a long way to go. Doesn't mean he won't get there. In fact, I'd put money on it, the fact that he would get there. But you're right, Jess. Let's see it on Saturday. You need it on Saturday, depending on what that weather's like. You know what? Go make a couple plays. Okay, we'll take a break, come back. DT, Dave Tomlinson, he is the radio analyst on the Kraken Audio Network. You hear him on the calls every night. They got a big one tonight in Boston. I mean, this is as good a regular season matchup in the world of the NHL that you can get. The hottest team in terms of winning streak in the National Hockey League would be, of course, the Seattle Kraken. And the best team in the NHL this year in terms of record, the Boston Bruins. We'll talk about that. Our weekly visit with DT coming up next.
Hey, it's Ian Furness for my good friend, Dr. Jay Rudd at Aurora LASIK and AuroraLASIK.com. No more readers. How about that? For about 15 years, I've used reading glasses, but no more. I had refractive lens exchange. I can tell you for a fact it's a life-changing and also something I wish I would have done years ago. You need to check it out as well. Go to AuroraLASIK.com. That's AuroraLASIK.com. Dr. Jay Rudd. He is absolutely sensational. Get your consultation scheduled. That's AuroraLASIK.com for your refractive lens exchange.